chapter 8 tonight. I'm sorry, James chapter 4. Where I got there ain't even James 8. I don't know what Bible. What Bible y'all reading? Y'all got me messed up. James chapter number 8. I said it again, James 4. Verse 8. James 4, verse 8. Got it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, verse number 8. Is where we are. All right. We'll get lined up here in just a minute. Praise God. James chapter 4 and verse number 8 tonight. Breaking away from Romans. Just to give you a little thought, Lord's laid on my heart, and talk about something very, probably, you know, we always say simple or maybe well known to all of us, maybe common. Don't let the familiarity cause you to miss the importance of this, though. I want you to look with me in James chapter 4, and I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. I'm just going to read this one verse, a verse that probably most of us could quote, maybe. Out of James 4, verse 8, he says, I'm in James 5, let me back up. James 4, verse 8, he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And I'm just going to read that one verse, give you a few thoughts out of this verse regarding the message and the point of this verse, what he's talking about in this verse, and that is fellowship with God, drawing nigh to God and him drawing nigh to you. That is what we would call fellowship with God. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for giving it to us. Thank you for this portion you've led our heart to tonight, and I pray that you'll bless it. I pray that you will take it and use it and help us all, Lord, to draw nigh to you in these days. Help us to realize the importance of fellowship and walking with you, Lord, in these days. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. You'd accomplish that which you'd have accomplished tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, the subject of this verse, this little verse that we read here, is fellowship with God. And I don't know if you remember, maybe it's been over a year ago now, preached through the book of James. It's amazing whenever you start looking back and adding up all the books we have preached through in the past a little over 4 years now. I'll tell you, you've got enough Bible here in terms of preaching through verse by verse through books to have at least a decent associate's degree. Amen. And so praise God for it. Amen. And but we went through the book of James, and of course, this is just a jam-packed little book. Really, kind of the subject or the topic of the entire book would really be that of maturity, Christian maturity, and growing up in the Lord, how to live the mature Christian life. And this is just one little verse here in a very rich little book regarding fellowship with God. And one thing is true, you will never be a mature Christian if you're not fellowshipping with God. And you'll never be mature if you're not walking with God. And so this thing of fellowship and this one little verse is one of man's most important needs. As a matter of fact, humanity was created by God for the very purpose of fellowship with God. That's why He created man. He created man to walk with Him and to fellowship with Him. And so man really is the one who's caused all the problems there. Humanity is what has brought in sin and has been separated from God. Thank the Lord He is such a gracious and merciful, long-suffering God that He would send His Son to die for us, that we might have that fellowship restored. Amen? And so fellowship certainly speaks of salvation, in that salvation and the gospel we've been dealing with in the book of Romans certainly does restore fellowship positionally with God. You can't fellowship with God positionally without being saved. Amen? But There is also that thing of progressive sanctification, and there's that thing of being filled with the Spirit, and all that has to do with fellowship. Even as a saved person, you can break fellowship with the Lord. Amen. You can walk far from Him, and you can, or you can walk close to Him. As a matter of fact, James here is writing to saved people, and his command to saved people here is draw nigh to God. God has commanded men to draw nigh to Him. Amen? And so I want to look at this thing for a few minutes tonight regarding fellowship. And I hope your fellowship is right. If anything else is on your right in your life is going to be right, your fellowship's going to have to be right. Amen? And the Christian life is a burden, and it's boring, and it's nothing more than a list of do's and don'ts to a lot of people because they are not in fellowship. Amen? And it may be that they are saved, but they may be out of fellowship with God. And so what we need is to draw nigh to God. And so the first thing we see here is just in that one phrase, draw nigh to God. And that is the precept in this verse. And that's the precept in the subject, in the topic. That's the command, is that of draw nigh to God. And I know that's a very simple statement. And I know even this verse is one simple little small verse and one that we're all very familiar with. But again, don't let the familiarity cause you to miss the message. Even though it's a simple, straightforward command, it is still a command. It's still God's expectation. It's still what God commands us to do, and that is to draw nigh to Him. You know, most men are not interested in being near God. Humanity in general is not interested in God, and is certainly not interested in being near God because He is light. Amen. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Amen. But you know, the Bible said in John 3 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And this is the condemnation, that light hath come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Amen. And so man will be condemned because he will not come to the light, and he will not come to the light because he loves darkness. Man does not want anything to do with God in general because of his sin. And our nation certainly doesn't want anything to do with God. You can see that. Say amen right there. I mean, they've kicked God out of everything. Isn't that right? And I believe we've gone beyond the point. I believe we've gone past the point where we're at the point of no turning back now. Amen. Judgment is certainly coming to America. There's no doubt about that. In fact, judgment's coming to this whole world here pretty soon. Amen. I tell you, humanity has gone past the point of no return with God. Amen. And that is just man. That's how wicked man is. Listen, man may try to point the finger at God, and you and I or any of us may try to point the finger at God as Him being the problem. But at the end of the day, man is the problem. And if there's anything wrong with us, it's our fault. And if there's anything good about us, it's God's fault. Amen? And so man doesn't want anything to do with God. However, our verse right here, this little simple verse, gives a straightforward, simple, easy to understand command, and that is draw nigh. That is near to God. Humanity runs from the light to get as far away from it as he can. That's why people can drive up and down the road and pass a church that is a lighthouse for the gospel day in and day out, week in and week out, even right in the middle of church time. They can drive right on past, and it does not bother them because they want to be as far from that light as they can possibly be. The light shines into their dark soul, exposing their sin. Amen. But the command is to draw nigh to God. You know, this command here specifically is towards saved people, but this command is for all humanity. I believe if God were to look at man, His command would be, draw nigh to me. Man is expected of God to draw nigh to God. Listen, if man will ever be fulfilled, if he'll ever have anything good come out of his life, if he'll ever do anything that's worth anything of any eternal value, it's going to come from drawing nigh, drawing near to God. And that is the command, both to the saved and to the lost. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said to all the lost? He said, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so the command is, come, draw nigh, draw near, come, seek the truth, find out where God is, and draw near, draw nigh to that. Amen? The greatest thing anyone could ever do in life is draw nigh to God. I said this morning about the statement Brother Knox made about don't read things about the Bible, read the Bible. Amen. How do you draw nigh to God? You get in the Bible, you get where God is, and you draw nigh to it. Amen. By the way, you'll not find Him out there. You'll not draw nigh to Him out there. You'll not draw nigh to Him anywhere but where He is. Amen. You've got to find out where He is. And it's a very simple, straightforward command. That is to the lost, to every lost person. Come, draw nigh, draw near. And by the way, that's why they'll die lost too. Because they simply will not draw nigh. They will not draw near. And it's not because God would not accept them if they didn't. It's because they do not want to. They want their sin more than they want Him. But the command to us as His people is the same. To draw nigh, draw near unto God. In other words, we're commanded to live close to God. And I know that's simple and that's something we all know, and this is very elementary probably for a crowd like this, as many messages as you've heard in your life. But it's still a fact, and it's something we need to be reminded of. I tell you, it's something you can take with you this week, moving forward, moving ahead. It's something you ought to meditate on, think about, and pray over. God, help me to draw nigh and to draw near unto You. It's the only way you're going to make it in these last days. Amen. To live close to God. In other words, this means regularly getting in the Scriptures. This means regularly praying. You know, you can have no fellowship with God if you don't have a prayer life and you don't have a Bible life. It just can't happen. The times in my life that I realize that I'm walking far from God, I feel like God is far from me, are the times when I'm not in His Word. And I'm not praying like I should. And I know none of us ever probably feel like we've ever prayed enough. None of us ever have prayed enough. There's never been a day where I felt like I got enough of the Bible and I prayed enough and I got everything done like I needed. There's never been one day that I felt like that. But I tell you, the times whenever I look around and I realize, boy, it feels like God is far from me and it feels like I'm not hearing from God. It feels like I'm not getting any help from God. Can I tell you something? God hasn't moved. It is me that it has moved. And if you would look at your life and you'd examine your life and you'd be honest with yourself and honest with God, you'd have to say the same thing, that the reason I'm going is the way that the reason I'm going the way that I'm going and the reason I'm far from Him is not because of Him, it's because of me. I am not living close to, I'm not drawing nigh to Him. We're to adjust our lives so that we can have fellowship with God. And it's going to take adjusting your life. This world and this world system is constantly trying to pull your mind, your thoughts, your heart, pull you away from drawing nigh to God. Constantly, it'll never stop. Listen, don't ever make the mistake of thinking that you'll ever reach the next spiritual plane. You'll get over the next spiritual hump to where the things that you're struggling with now won't ever, you know, you'll kind of finally get over it and you won't struggle with it again. Amen. Listen, victory can be had and victory can come and God will and can give you victory to where you never go back to the things that you struggle with. That doesn't mean that you won't ever struggle with them again. Amen. I'm saying God can give you victory, but this flesh is still flesh. And listen, whenever you get victory over one thing, there will be something else waiting for you. Amen? Listen, we'll never get to the place here, this side of eternity, where we don't battle with the flesh and the world and the devil anymore. Amen? You say, what do we got to do? We got to draw nigh to God. And we have to adjust our lives. Adjust our lives. Do whatever we have to do to ensure that we do the most important thing, and that is draw nigh to God. I remember seeing an illustration, and I've seen it several times, you may have seen it too, where a man takes a big jar, a big clear glass jar, and the jar is empty, and he sets it out there, and he's got several different size rocks. He's got a box full of really large, big rocks, and then he's got some kind of more medium-sized rocks, and then some really small, more pebble-sized rocks, and then he's got a box of sand. And if I remember right, I think it was actually a professor at a college somewhere giving this illustration or whatever, but it very much applies spiritually to. And he talked about that class, and he talked about how could you ever fill up that entire jar and get all the rocks into it.
Well, you certainly couldn't pour in. You have to go in a certain way. Otherwise, you'll never get the big rocks in. If you just go in with the sand, you'll never get the big rocks. You'll never get the medium rocks. You'll never get the small rocks. If you just go in the small rocks, and you can get some of the sand, but you'll never get the medium rocks, the big rocks. In other words, it's very important what order you go. And if you're ever going to fill that jar up, the point was this, is that you're going to have to start out with the big rocks. The big rocks have got to go in first. You'll never fill in every square inch of that jar. You'll never get them in. You can fill it up with the small things. And you could even fill it to the brim with the small things. But here's the problem. You fill it up with the small things, you'll never have room for the big things. And your life is the same way. Listen, I know we talk about technology a lot, and we talk about all these things. Listen, there's a million and one things that the world, the flesh, and the devil has got out there for you. Some of them are not even necessarily sin in and of themselves. But I tell you what they are. They're small things. They're things that don't matter that much. They're things that when they take the place and they fill up the jar of your life. See, the empty jar represents your time. It represents your jar in your life. And here's the thing. Nobody's got more time than you got. Don't ever think, well, I can't walk with God because I ain't got time. I can't read my Bible because I don't have time. I can't do this or that because I don't have time. Listen, nobody has more time than anybody else. Nobody has more time. Nobody has less time. We all have the same amount of time. It's just that it comes down to how we use our time. And whenever we use our time the wrong way, whenever we waste minutes and hours and days scrolling on the phone or watching TV or doing this, things that don't matter. I'm telling you what you're doing. You're taking the empty jar of your life and you're filling it up with sand. Things that are small and insignificant and do not matter. And I'll tell you what's not going to happen. You're not going to ever fit the big things in because it'll be filled up with small things. See, if you're ever going to fit the big rocks in your life, the big things, the things that really matter, those are going to be the things that go in first. You know what you ought to do? You ought to take an account of your life every now and then. I'm serious. You ought to sit down and actually do this. Don't just half-heartedly think about it. I mean, really set aside some time to sit down and think this out and think, what are the most important things in my life? What are the greatest priorities? Listen, whether you realize it or not, I'm going to tell you what number one is, and it's the Lord. Amen? The Lord is your greatest priority. There is nothing more important in your life, whether you realize it or not. Your preacher, your pastor is helping you to know that the Lord is the most important thing. Amen? And commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy heart shall follow. Amen? And so, listen. Where thy thoughts shall be established. He said, commit thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Listen, if you'll get Him number one in your life and not let anything else get between you and the Lord, you'll always be able to fit that big rock in there. You've got to decide what the other most important things are. I'd say family is important to us. Listen, the work of God, church, ministry, all those things are important. The point is, though, you've got to figure out what the biggest, most important priorities are in your life. And make sure you get those in first. Because I tell you what will happen. If you don't evaluate that and you just react to what life throws to you, it'll be filled up with little things that don't matter and you'll never fit in the big rocks. And then at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, at the end of your life, you look back and you say, I just didn't have time. Well, you did have time, but you let it get filled up with things that don't matter. And so we have to adjust our lives. Listen, if there's things that have to be put down and let go of and things that we have to, set aside that we might be able to draw nigh to God, listen, there's no more important thing in life. There's nothing too important that you shouldn't set it aside if you have to draw nigh to God. Amen? There's nothing. We have to adjust our lives that we can fellowship. So the command, the precept is draw nigh to God. But then he on the flip side of that, we see the other side, it says, and He will draw nigh to you. So the precept is draw nigh to God. That's the command. That's our side of it. That's what we have to do. But the promise in it is that He'll draw nigh to you. Listen, you'll never draw nigh to God, and you'll never do your part where He won't keep up His end of the bargain. Listen, you won't ever carry the burden that you won't be blessed. Amen? Listen, you won't be able to, you won't ever do your side where God won't do His side. Amen? And that's what I've said since the very beginning. It's that He, if we will, He will. Amen? And that's where we find it right here in the Word of God, that if you will draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. Do you know that no one has ever, lost or saved, no one has ever sought God that they did not find Him. I'm talking about sincerely from a sincere heart. That's the character of God. That's what we find in the Word of God. That's what we find, you know, in the Scriptures. That if you seek Him, He will be found. And you say, well, I've sought God and I didn't find Him. Or I know somebody that really sought God and they never found Him. Listen, it may look on the outside that they sought it, but listen, God knows the heart. And God knows your heart. Amen? And it may, listen, folks can cry crocodile tears. And I mean, they can make it look so sincere and like they're really seeking God. But listen, if they do not find Him, it's because they were not seeking Him with a whole heart. And I don't know that, but God knows that. Amen. And that's what we can rest in. We can rest in the Word of God, knowing that if we seek Him, He will be found. I don't know about you, but listen, there's been a lot of times I've gone to church with nothing to offer. And we know we have nothing to offer God. Ultimately, we have nothing to give Him. Amen. But listen, it really ought to be the exception that we go to church looking to get something. We've got that thing so turned around and so messed up in our mind that everyone goes to church now looking to get something from God. And you know, that ought to be the exception in your life. That's the way it'll be when you're not walking with Him throughout the week, whenever you're not walking with Him day by day. Listen, church is not about getting something from God. Church is about giving something to Him. Church is about worship. It's about praise. It's about serving. That's why we call it a service. Amen? It's about giving God our service and setting aside this day and committing it unto Him and making the commitment, making the step of faith to go to church and to worship and to sing praises and to teach our class and to preach and do all these things. Even maybe when we don't feel like it in the flesh, He's still worthy, so we do it anyways. And it's all about giving unto Him. It's about showing Him His worth to us. Everything we do in church is about showing God His worth. And I know He knows our heart, and I know He knows His worth. He knows what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. Listen, this world don't know, amen? And I tell you, the only way to worship God is in our body. Isn't that right? Listen, we ought to worship Him and praise Him and show this world and show one another. That's edifying one another and exhorting one another. Amen. By showing one another that God is worth something to me. Amen. That's why we're not dressing down church. That's why we're not turning the church into a club. That's why we're not turning the church into some type of social media, social meeting. Listen, I want to keep church church, and I come to get in, and I come to have church, and I believe in dressing up, and I believe in looking like a preacher, and I believe in looking like a Christian, and I believe in having church clothes. Amen. I still believe in all those things, because in all those things we are showing Him His worth to us. And the reason that church is being so dressed down today and in the society is because He simply is not worth anything to this world. The world says to the Lord, listen, if it doesn't entertain me and if it's not just as good as what's going on out there, listen, then I don't want it. Church is about setting aside everything out there and setting aside our life and putting our life on hold and giving Him this day and giving Him our all and giving it all to Him. Amen. It's about giving. It's about Him. Church and church life and serving God and the Christian life is not about you. And it's not about me. This ain't about us. It's about Him. And I know there's times that we come dragging in spiritually. I mean, you don't feel like you can make it one more step. And I mean, you've just got to have something. I know that happens. I've been there. Amen. Listen, I've preached in that shape. Amen. where God's got to divinely come in and help me. Amen. That when I am weak, He's got to be strong. Amen. I know what that is like. And you know what that's like if you've been saved long. But I'm saying this, that ought to be the exception, not the rule. We've got that thing backwards. Where church is all about me, and I got to go and I got to get, and I got to hear from God. And I said, listen, if you'll give God His due, so to speak, if you'll worship Him and you'll serve and you'll praise, you will hear from God. You will get exactly what you, because He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. It's all about Him. But again, that is the exception. But I said all that to say this. There have been times where I've come and I needed to get something. And yet, could any of us say that whenever we needed it the most, and we went ahead and took a step of faith, when we didn't feel like it in the flesh and our flesh was screaming against it, we went ahead and took that step anyways, that God lets you walk away empty-handed? Could any of us say that? God's never done that. I've never gone out on a limb for Him that He left me out there. Amen. I've never taken a step for Him. I've never just gone where He's left me. You know why? Because of this promise right here. That if you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. He will always give you exactly what you need. But see, it's like so many other promises in the Bible. It's a conditional promise. It's the if we will, He will. And see, if God seems far off, it's not God's fault. Because He's never failed in His promise. And this is a promise. If God's ever seemed far off to anybody, it's not God. God's not failing this promise here. Listen, He's a promise-keeping God. And so the point is, somewhere down the way, somebody's not drawing nigh to Him. And God knows their heart. And so the promise is simply conditioned on our desire to be near to God. Now, a lot of people disguise their desires to have all their problems fixed with a desire to be near to God. They disguise their desire to have all their be saved from all their circumstances and their bad situation and get out of the storm. They disguise all that with a desire to be near to God. And then they get mad at God whenever He doesn't answer their prayers. They get mad at God whenever He doesn't show up. Whenever the whole time it's been a big facade. If they'd be honest with themselves and honest with God, they'd have to say, I really just wanted to be saved from my circumstance. I really wanted to just be saved from this problem that I have, this marriage issue, whatever. Listen, we see that in the jail all the time. All them guys, they want to get out early and they want God to divinely intervene to get them out of there early and get, you know, and whatever. So God, you know, really bless them. And so they come to church and they're faithful and they're there and they say amen and they soak in the word. And then it comes down the pipe. They're going to be getting out. And then they don't get out when they think they're going to get out. And suddenly you couldn't find them anymore. Because God was nothing more than a crutch. So they had no desire to be near to Him. They had a desire for Him to solve all their problems. And that's jailhouse religion, but church house religion is no different. It's no different. He'll draw nigh when your desire is to be near to Him. He'll then be near to you. If you don't want His company, He'll not bust the door down to be with you. He's not going to kick the door in of your heart. You got to indicate that your desire to have His company if you want His presence in your life. God doesn't fellowship with those who don't want His fellowship. On the flip side of that, though, that He wants everyone that wants Him. If you do want Him and you do want to be near to God and you do want to walk with Him, He does want you too. See, Calvinists are pointing different people in the Bible. See, God didn't want them. God rejected them. What they forget to say is that they rejected God in their heart already. That's just like Pharaoh in Egypt. See, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. They forget to mention that Pharaoh hardened his own heart towards God. God doesn't want anybody, and God will reject anybody that rejects Him, but God will receive anybody that receives Him. And I didn't say that. That's just the Bible. Isn't that right? And so, if you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. And that is a sweet consolation. That is a sweet promise that the Lord will always be there. Amen. The last thing we find here is this simple thing regarding our preparation. See, there's a precept in this thing. The command is to draw nigh to God. The promise is that He'll draw nigh to you. But then there's preparation in that thing, in that He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners,
and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That thing of cleansing is right there in the same verse regarding fellowship with God. Cleansing ourselves. And there's two areas of preparation right here mentioned in order to draw nigh to God. And you got to prepare properly for fellowship in order to have it. If you don't prepare for it, you're not going to have it. He mentions two things. The first thing he mentions is to prepare is our hands. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. But then he mentions our hearts. He says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So hands and hearts. They speak of two different things. Cleanse your hands speaks of our actions, that which we do. But our hearts, that speaks of our attitudes, what's behind actions. The hands speak of our conduct, whereof the heart speaks of the contemplations, that which you think about. The hands speak of our manners, whereas the heart speaks of our meditations. God is interested, certainly, in what you and I do. We've seen that in Romans, haven't we? The last part of Romans, the duty of the gospel. God's not just interested in you getting saved. He's interested in how you live if you say you are saved. He is certainly interested in what we do, but He's also interested in why we do it as well. Amen. He's not just interested in your manners and just interested in your conduct and just interested in your actions, but He's interested in your meditations and your contemplations and your attitudes. All those things that are behind it, that are down in your heart. And the call in regards to preparation is to cleanse your hands. That is, cleanse the things that you're doing. Look and evaluate yourself. What is it that I am doing or not doing that would break my fellowship with God? But then he says, purify your hearts. What is it that I'm thinking? What is my attitude? What has my heart that would keep me from fellowship with God? See, if our heart isn't right, our fellowship won't be right. In fact, wherever our heart goes, our hands will soon follow. Amen? Now, holiness in both thought and deed are necessary for good fellowship with God. You can't have fellowship with God if we do not clean the sin out of our lives. Sin drives us from God and separates us from God. And I think we see that all the way back in Genesis. The very first family, the very first marriage and home, Adam and Eve. After they sinned against God, you find that they hid themselves from God when they sinned in the garden. And why did they hide themselves from God? You know, God, you know, when He commanded them to not eat of that tree, to not partake of that fruit. You know, I don't ever see any details in the Bible where He went into going on to describe that, like, look, if you eat that fruit, I'm going to be real mad and you better hide and all those things. No, listen, they took that fruit and they immediately knew. Shame came in. And without God even telling them they had to, you know what they did? They hid themselves. I mean, I don't know. I've never gone through there and read and seen where God pronounced judgment on them and told them of all the terrible things that would happen if they partook of that tree. But the point is that when they did it, they immediately knew. And see, that's what sin does. Sin brings shame and reproach and guilt into our heart. Amen. You know, that's why a lot of folks don't have a more bold witness and a bold testimony for God. Because sin will take all that away. Whenever your heart is clean and pure towards God, listen, it brings about boldness in your life. It brings about confidence for God. But listen, when you know that there's something down in there that's not supposed to be there, it'll rob you of your boldness. It'll rob you of your confidence. It'll rob you of your joy. And you know why it robs you of all those things? Because it's robbed you of your fellowship. You can't draw nigh to God. You can't draw nigh to God, therefore He can't draw nigh to you. And so what you once had, you've lost. And preparations must be made. You know, there really is only one way to get close to God. And it's the way the Bible tells us to. All of religion and all the churches now are making the path to God, attempting to make it more palatable. But there's really only one way. That's through confessing and forsaking our sin. Confessing and forsaking our sin. That's how we draw nigh to God. And so I just wonder, how is your fellowship? Are you really walking with God? Let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for your word and for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it. I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts and help us to draw nigh to you that you might draw nigh to us. Father, I pray for that one that you've spoke to their heart tonight. Lord, if there'd be one here, Lord, you've spoke to their heart and revealed things in their life, Lord, that just aren't exactly right. Father, I pray that you'd help us all to do business with you, that we might fellowship with you and walk with you. Lord, that we might be filled with your Spirit, with power and with unction and boldness, that we might have all the blessings of the Christian life be used of you in these last days. Father, I pray now that you'd help us as we, Lord, have the altar call. Help us to respond in the way you'd have us respond. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.